Our national attorney, Mr. Ken Bass, has prepared a preliminary analysis of the Native Land Claims Settlement Act as it's enacted. So at this time, for the benefit of everyone here, I'll have our executive director, Harry Carter, read this preliminary analysis. When he has completed the reading, Ken Bass, the national attorney, will answer any questions in regard to the bill that you have. So at this time, I'll turn the floor over to Harry Carter.
This is a preliminary analysis of the Native Claims Settlement Act as enacted. Number one, on the money. A federal payment totaling $462,500,000 and payable over an 11-year period. An initial payment of $12.5 million would be made in fiscal year 1972, that is July 1 of 1971 through June 30th of 1972. A payment of $50 million would be made in fiscal 1973, $70 million in fiscal 1974, 75, and 76, $40 million in fiscal 1977, and $30 million in fiscal 1978, 79, 80, 81, and 82. Until the Native roll is completed, appropriations will be deposited in a special fund in the United States Treasury and will not be paid to Native corporations. Until the Native roll is completed, appropriations will be deposited in a special fund in the United States Treasury and will not be paid to Native corporations. As soon as the roll is completed, the balance in the fund will be paid to the regional corporations. Preparation of the roll could require as long as 2 years. During that time, the Secretary of the Treasury is expected to invest appropriated funds and credit the account with interest earned. The present value of this appropriation is $360,480,000. Number two, a 2% royalty on minerals subject to the Mineral Leasing Act, which are produced under leases on both federal and state lands. The royalty would continue until a total of $500 million is paid into the fund. The present value, using a 6% discount rate, is $187,938,000. Thus, the total present value of the money provisions is $548,418,000. The land. 40 million acres of surface estate and 40 million acres in mineral rights would be distributed under a withdrawal and patent system as follows. The first phase of land selections consists of village selections according to population. Each Native village will select from 3 to 7 townships of land depending upon the population according to the following table. A population of 25 to 99 will receive 69,120 acres or 3 townships. A population of 100 to 199 would receive 92,160 acres or 4 townships. a population of 200 to 399 would receive 115,200 acres or 5 townships. Population of 400 to 599 would receive 138,240 acres or 6 townships. A village with a population of 600 or more would receive 161,280 acres or 7 townships. This selection will result in the following total village selections within the regions. And this table is based on the estimated population and is subject to possible error. None of the tables here represent the actual land allocation figures, but are the best estimates possible with the existing data. The Arctic Slope region village acreage selected would amount to 760,300 acres. The interior Tanana Chiefs area would receive 2,995,200 acres. The Northwest area would receive 1,244,160 acres. The Bering Strait area would receive 1,681,920 acres. The AVCP area, that is the Bethel area, would receive 5,368,320 acres. The Copper River area would receive 2,345,600 acres. The Cook Inlet area would receive 391,680 acres. The Bristol Bay area would receive 2,188,800 acres. The Chugach area would receive 230,040 acres. The Kodiak area would receive 483,840 acres. The Aleut League received 1,313,280 acres. The totals are 17,003,140 acres. The difference between the roughly 17 million acres of land so allocated and the 22 million acres will be appropriated among the 11 regions according to population. Each region will in turn reallocate its land to village corporations according to need. Using the best population estimates now available to council, this provision results in the following. The following additional village land selections. And here we're talking about the difference. The difference between 17 million and the 22 million. Is this correct? The Arctic Slope, representing 6% of population, would receive an additional 299,820 acres. The interior, representing 18% of population, would receive an additional 899,455 acres. The Northwest, representing 10% of population, would receive an additional 499,700 acres. The Bering Strait, representing 3.5% of population, would receive an additional 174,895 acres. The AVCP, representing 30% population, would receive an additional 1,499,100 acres. Copper River, representing 0.2%, would receive an additional 9,940 acres. The Cook Inlet, representing 14% of population, would receive an additional 699,580 acres. The Bristol Bay Area, 9% population, receive an additional 749,730 acres. The Chugach Area, representing 0.3% population, would receive an additional 14,910 acres. The Kodiak Area, representing 4% of population, would receive an additional 199,880 acres. The Aleut League, representing approximately 5% population, would receive an additional 249,850 acres. The third phase of selections is the selection of 16 million acres of land by regional corporations. The lands are allocated so that, as closely as possible, the total of village selections and regional selections in a given region is proportional to the size of the total land area in that region. That is a land lost total allocation. However, if a village selection within a given region already exceed its land loss portion, the region will not make any additional selections and the excess will be deducted from other regional allocations on a land loss basis. Again, using the best information at hand, this formula results in the following regional allocations. Arctic Slope, on land loss percentage, 14.4. Total village selections will amount to 1,060,120 acres. The additional regional selections will amount to 3,745,967 acres, making total selections for the Arctic Slope of 4,806,087 acres. The interior, with a land loss percentage of 35.6, with total village selections will amount to 3,894,655 acres. The additional regional selection will amount to 7,968,563 acres. The total selections for the interior will amount to 11,863,218 acres. For the Northwest area, the 7.7 land loss percentage, the total village selections will amount to 1,743,860 acres. The additional regional selections will amount to 818,567 acres. The Northwest total land selections then will be 2,562,427 acres. The Bering Straits, representing a land loss percentage of 5.4, will have village selections amounting to 1,856,815 acres. There will be no additional regional selections. The total selections will be the same as I read, 1,856,815 acres. For the ABCP area, representing a land loss percentage of 11.6, the total village selections will amount to 6,867,420 acres. There will be no additional regional selections. The total selection then will be 6,867,420 acres. The Copper River area, with 6.8% for land loss percentage, the village selections will be 355,540 acres. The additional regional selections will amount to 1,000,000 903,158 acres. The total selections for Copper River will amount to 2,258,698 acres. The Cook Inlet area, with a 6.4 land loss percentage, will have village selections amounting to 1,091,260 acres. The additional regional selection will amount to 1,046,054 acres. The total for Cook Inlet will be 2,137,314 acres. For the Bristol Bay area, using an 8.0% land loss, the total village selections will be 2,638,530 acres. The additional regional selections will amount to 30,243 acres. The total for Bristol Bay will be 2,668,773 acres. For the Chugach area, with a 2.3% land loss percentage, the total village selections will amount to 244,950 acres. The additional regional selections will amount to 487,448 acres. The total for Chugach will be 732,398 acres. For the Kodiak area, representing a 0.5 land loss percentage, the total village selections will amount to 683,720 acres, with no additional regional selections. The Aleut League, with 1.3 land loss percentage, will have total village selections amounting to 1,563,130 acres, with no additional regional selections. The total then for the village selections comes out to 22 million acres. The total of the additional regional selections amounts to 16 million acres, giving a grand total then of 38 million acres. The native villages with a permanent population of 25 or more as of April 1, 1970, which were inadvertently omitted from the villages listed in the Act, can be added and will be able to select their land the same as the listed villages. The villages with populations less than 25 will be entitled to select the surface estate to one township, that is 23,040 acres of land. This provision is not applicable to villages with populations under 25 located in wildlife refuges, petroleum number 4, state TA lands, state selected lands, or other reserved federal lands. These lands are referred to later as restricted areas. The native communities in Sitka, Kenai, Juneau, and Kodiak will be entitled to the surface estate of one township located in reasonable proximity to the non-native municipalities. The native village selections must be made from within the township or townships enclosing the native village. The townships that touch on those townships and the townships that touch on the townships touching on the townships in which the village is located. Contiguous townships. In general, this represents a 25 township area with the native village at the center. If villages are located on the coast so that they cannot select their full entitlement from within the township so outlined, they will then select any shortage from the lands nearest the native village which is not located in any of the restricted areas. No more than three townships in wildlife refuges, or three townships of state-selected or tentatively approved lands, and three townships of national forest lands can be selected by one village. All village selections will be made within 3 years after enactment. The subsurface estate in land selected by the villages would be conveyed to the regional corporation for the region in which the village is located. No subsurface rights are available in wildlife refuges or petroleum reserve number 4, but in lieu selection right is granted to the regional corporation so affected. Thus, for example, a village located in a national wildlife refuge, which selects 4 townships of surface estate, will result in a 4 township subsurface entitlement to the regional corporation. This selection must be filled, if possible, from lands withdrawn in the 25 townships surrounding other native villages in the region. Otherwise, the regional selections would be made from in lieu withdrawal areas. During the fourth year after enactment, regional corporations would select their share of an additional 16 million acres. These selections would be made from a checkerboard withdrawal in the roughly 25 townships surrounding native villages in the region. Village selected lands, state TA'd lands, state selected lands, wildlife refuge lands, and national forest lands would not be available for the regional selections. In lieu selections, only vacant, unappropriated, and unreserved public lands may be withdrawn. An additional 2 million acres will be allocated by the Secretary for hardship purposes. This includes fee title to existing cemetery sites and historical places. One township of land around native villages that do not qualify for full selection rights. One township of land for Sitka, Kenai, Juneau, and Kodiak. 160 acres of land for any native whose primary place of residence is outside of the village lands, and any allotment which the native chooses to process to patent. Any remaining portion of the 2 million acres will be allocated on a population basis to the regional corporations. The corporate structures. 12 regional corporations are established. The Secretary is authorized to merge the corporations on request of existing Native associations to not less than 7 regional corporations. All Alaska Natives will be enrolled back to a regional corporation. Natives resident in Alaska will be enrolled into the region in which they are a permanent resident. This does not necessarily mean the region where they now live, but rather the region which contains their permanent home. Non-resident natives, such as those living in Seattle, will have an option. If a majority of all such non-resident natives choose to establish a 13th regional corporation, they may do so. Otherwise, all non-residents will be enrolled back to their region of origin. The 13th regional corporation, if established, would receive a population-based share of the $962.5 million cash settlement, but would not receive any land benefits or any share of revenues derived from the lands. Each village would incorporate as a profit or non-profit corporation in which only natives enrolled in the village were members. Regional corporations would, for the first 5 years following enactment, distribute not less than 10% of all funds directly to individual native members. I think it's important. We'll try it again. Regional corporations would, for the first 5 years following the enactment, they would distribute not less than 10% of all funds directly to individual native members. For the first 5 years, the regional corporations would have to give to the individuals out of the total fund at least 10% of the fund received by the regional corporation. So there would be some headcount distribution of funds, at least 10%. 45% of those funds. Would be distributed to village corporations in proportion to population. The remaining 45% would be held by the regional corporation for investment, business, and social welfare purposes. At the end of 5 years, regional corporations would distribute 50% directly to villages and retain 50%. At any time, regional or village corporations could elect to distribute money directly to stockholders. 70% of revenues received by regional corporations from timber resources and subsurface estate would be divided on a population basis among all 12 regional corporations. The remaining 30% of such funds would stay in the region of origin. On allotments, existing native allotment applications may, at the option of the applicant, be processed under the Allotment Act or withdrawn and taken into the individual native provisions of the final act. If the allotment is processed to patent, no subsurface rights will be obtained. Under the individual land allocation provisions of the Act, subsurface rights will be granted to the regional corporations. Both allotment applications and individual grants will be charged against the 2 million acre hardship allocation. Reservations. Existing native reservations are given an option under the bill to relinquish the reservation and to be treated like any other native village, or to take fee title to the land set aside in the reservation. If the village elects to take fee title to the reservation lands, the individual natives are not eligible to own stock or otherwise share in the monetary provisions of the settlement. On taxation, the $462,500,000 federal appropriation and the 2% royalty are not subject to taxation when distributed to regional corporations, village corporations, or individual members. Income from such monies are not tax exempt. For 20 years after enactment, undeveloped or unleased native lands are exempt from state and local real property tax. Miscellaneous. Land Classification Authority. The Secretary of Interior is directed to withdraw up to 80 million acres of land, including previously classified areas such as the Brooks Range and the Copper Center classifications, for purposes of considering additional wildlife refuges, national parks, and other federal reservations. This classification cannot interfere with village land selections. Regional corporations can proceed to tentatively select land in classified areas if otherwise subject to regional selection, but cannot obtain patent as long as the classification withdrawal remains in effect. The Secretary cannot, on his own authority, put these lands into federal reservations. Rather, Congress must affirmatively act to include the classified areas in a new federal park, wildlife refuge, or other reserve category. If Congress does so reserve the lands, alternative selection rights will be made available to regional corporations to compensate for any lands tentatively selected by the regions. If Congress does not so act, regional corporations may proceed with patenting of their selected lands. On land use planning, an advisory land use planning commission is hereby established, or is established, to assist natives, state and federal officials in land selection and management practices. 5 members will be appointed by the governor of Alaska and 5 by the President of the United States. At least one of the governor's appointments must be native. On wildlife refuge restrictions, land selected by natives in wildlife refuges will continue to be subject to the laws and regulations governing use and development of the refuge. Subsistence protections. No specific provisions are included in the bill for subsistence rights. However, the conference committee report states that the Congress expects both the Secretary of the Interior and the state to take any action necessary to protect the subsistence needs of the natives. The report specifically suggests the Secretary may use his classification and withdrawal authority to protect subsistence uses. A Tlingit Hiatus Settlement. As in both the House passed and the Senate passed bills, villages in the southeast are limited to 1 township of land each. The judgment funds appropriated to pay the Court of Claims judgment are considered to be in lieu of additional land selection rights for these villages. The Southeast natives will share fully in the financial portion of the settlement.
Thank you, Harry.
Do you feel it's a very good analysis and will help the problem of explaining the land claims legislation as it stands?
I think the analysis is good, but it should be prepared more simply for people that don't understand English too well.